This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles, if you have them today, to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And we went with some different palms this year. And I love during service to see some people out there waving these. For the most part, it was kids, because anytime they have something in their hand, they want to wave those about. But I think that was part of the celebration when Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem, that kids even were participating in that. And I love just up on stage, Twyla, when you had those, and we're just taking a moment to worship God, waving those around rather than playing. And those are powerful times when we think about why people did this and why they waved these branches down around, why they cut them down, and what the significance was of that. Today, the significance is we can hit one another. I've seen several of you hitting people. I've threatened to hit a few people already today with these. But when Jesus came through, this was a time of celebration. And the tool was in their hand to celebrate Him. There's nothing magical about these. But that was an opportunity just to praise and worship Him, waving these around. In Matthew chapter 21, when it talks about Him coming into the temple, or into Jerusalem, it says in verse 1, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of His disciples, and He said to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately,'" I love how Jesus Christ, when He speaks, usually it's immediately, or if He's not speaking, when He gives a direction, those that are obedient to Him, listen carefully, church, those that are obedient to Him respond immediately. You'll find that over and over. When He called His disciples, immediately they dropped their nets. We've talked about that a few different times. And immediately they went and did this. And He said, "Go here," and immediately they went. And it said, "Go into the village, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say to them, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately He will send them." Again, those people that are obedient, or where God has a hold of them, they know to respond immediately when He says it is immediately. Keep in mind, sometimes we want to do things right away. God says it's not time yet. So when God says to do it, that's when we respond immediately, not when we want to necessarily. "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly,'" note that word, "lowly, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." And He tells them, "Hey, I'm coming, but I'm going to be lowly. I'm going to be humble. This isn't this great entry." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and sat Him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before Him and those who followed cried out, saying to Him, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now, if you'll bear with me while I flip a few pages here. Because each gospel has a little different recollection or recording of what happened there. And in Luke chapter 19, He tells them what to do. And it says kind of the same thing, that the people screamed out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed is a king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Now in John chapter 12, we also have recording of Him coming into Jerusalem. And it says, the people cried out after cutting down branches, going to meet Him, "Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." And we skipped Luke, didn't we? Did we hit Luke? Then I skipped Mark. Sorry. Mark chapter 11, the Lord has need of this. And he went through and he said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So really, no matter how you look at it and what you look at here, we know that the people took their clothes, they laid them down on the dirt road for the Messiah to come. We know that they cut down branches and they waved those branches and they hollered out together, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I thought, man, what an undertaking that must have been to gather a group of people, have them all in one accord. Hey, let's cut down these branches and let's all do this as he comes. And I'm sure it was like a parade as the flag comes through parades and one by one people stand up as that flag gets to them. I can picture little kids tired of waiting. What are we doing with these? Where is he? When's he going to be here? And then when he comes, the excitement. I think of every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Some people hear the name of Jesus and immediately drop to their knees. Verse 10 of chapter 21. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Now we talked Wednesday night that I've always said, these same people are saying, Hosanna! And days later they go, Crucify him! But as I listened to the radio guy, I said, maybe it was the same group. Maybe it was two separate groups. I don't think we know. And really, that's kind of what I'm talking about today, that you guys will have to decide. Are you in the one group says, hey, I hollered both sides, Hosanna, crucify him. My God is a good God. Tragedy struck. Your God didn't pull me through this. Didn't allow this to happen. So do we turn? Or are there really two groups and we're of the group that says, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And the others are saying, crucify him, but not us. So Jesus went into the city. They had called him the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And I just had to do some thinking on that. And I thought, man, my body is a temple of God. And I know that Jesus is talking about the physical temple here. He says, My house should be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. But I thought, really, if this is his temple also, what have we made this? Our bodies. That's okay. The sound of babies crying means there's life in the church. And I'm thankful that's happening because I'm hoping it's all done by the time we're ready for baptism. Because I'm going to feel really bad if he's crying when I'm holding him. So what are we doing with our temple? Is it a temple for prayer? Do we pray? Do we treat it right? Do we allow others to treat our temple right? We can't say Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. And then disrespect his temple. I've said it before, and I actually was doing some training last week at work at my other job, and I asked a young lady, she knows I'm a pastor, I said, do you mind if I preach for just a minute? She said, no, go right ahead. Not that that was intimidating to ask a yes or no question to a new person, but she allowed me to do it nonetheless. And I was talking about being representation, a good representation, and a good representative of where we work. And I said, we can't profess to be a great representative and then be disrespectful to our company, to our leader, to our head, to each other, to our customers. And I said, it's the same thing in our faith. We can't wear that badge that says ambassador of Christ and not respect the head and the people that we come across, the people in our church, the people outside of our church. Well, they don't know me. No, but Jesus Christ knows you, and He knows that you're wearing that badge that says ambassador of Christ. Do you have the aroma of Christ when you intermingle with people, when you interact with people? Or do you leave a slightly different stench behind than the aroma of Christ? I think we called it the stench of sin on one of my messages. But you see, we're at a crossroads. We're at a crossroads just like they are. And I talked about Jesus Christ and the journey He's going through and the journey we're going through leading up to this. He's been peaceful. He's been adamant about what He believes in and about the love of Christ and loving one another. But now He's cleansing the temple. He says, I can't have this in my house. And I can't help but believe today He's saying to some of you, I can no longer have this in my house. So just like He's at a crossroads and His life is getting ready to change and thus change our lives forever, and our life is the same because we've got the opportunity to say, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Or are we the ones screaming, crucify him later in the week? Yes, I know that God, but I don't serve him Monday through Saturday. I serve myself. Then the blind and the lame came to him, in verse 14, in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things he did, notice it says, the wonderful things he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. So we know that the rest of the journey is a rough one. The fig tree is withered. Jesus, his authority is questioned by many. And I noticed in our small group, when we meet and we talk about this, that we tend to constantly read, the Pharisees got together and they didn't like it. So they grabbed the scribes. Oh, and then they went and found the Sadducees. Oh, and then they went to the Sanhedrin. Oh, and then they just went and probably found anybody else they could and said, hey, come believe with us. Look what this guy's doing. I thought, man, these Pharisees couldn't go and do anything on their own, it seemed like. I always had to get a group of people to come against Jesus Christ because they knew on their own they didn't stand a chance. So his authority is questioned. We go through several days of activities. We go through Jesus predicting his death. And then we go to the garden where Jesus is praying. And I thought, again, we have a crossroads. Judas agrees to betray Jesus. They make a plot to kill him. Jesus celebrates the Passover meal with his disciples. And then Jesus tells Peter, by the way, you're going to deny me. And what did Peter respond? That's right. Not me. No, Jesus, they may do it, but not me. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. And this is after they got together for the Lord's Supper. Actually, in verse 30 it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Singing hymns, they left. But then Jesus said in verse 31, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. Why? Because it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And he tells them, after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Now, Jesus has been with these guys for a couple years now. And it still amazes me and honestly humors me a little bit that they're always going, I don't get what he's saying here. Jesus is telling us he's going to rebuild. Do you understand what he's saying? It's like they're looking at each other and he's telling them constantly what's going to happen. And when it happens, they're like, oh my Lord, it happened. Well, yeah, he told you it was. Oh yeah. And little by little, it's always slow to come back into their memory. He did tell us this was going to happen. But then there's always the proudful, prideful, arrogant. Verse 33, Peter answered and he said to him, Lord, even if all of these are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble myself. You see, Lord, all of them, they're the weak ones. Not me, Lord. I'm not going to stumble. Let the other guys stumble. And they're not quite as good as me, Lord. They will stumble, but not me. But Jesus responded, assuredly I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. But again, Peter responded to him saying, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. I will not deny you. And I think, again, we're at a crossroads, church. Think of your faith. God, I will be faithful no matter what happens. Until something happens. The unexpected or the expected. And then all of a sudden, we have questions to answer that we haven't had to answer and ask before. God, if you were there with me through this, why did you allow this to happen? You see, God, I prayed night and day. I prayed that this would happen, that this would not happen, that you would give me this, that you would not let me have this. And God, you didn't answer my prayer. And God's thinking, I answered it. I gave you the answer you didn't want, but I answered it. And as my word says, it was my will. And my will is perfect. Yes, but God, you don't understand. I don't think I am strong enough to handle this. And we tell them, today, in our happiness, on our journey, everything going well, Lord, I will never deny you. And then something happens and we look around and we say, well, where is so-and-so? What happened to them? How are they? They've gone down the dark path. Oh, they've gone off the deep end, man. Just can't face the day. And I get that, but we have to be careful when we say this will never happen to me. I've told a story before about a friend and co-worker that my wife and I knew and worked with. And in a double wedding ceremony, her and her sister got married at the same time. And very short time later, months later, one of the girls, her husband, died. Oh, did I mention he was on a church outing when he died? Church outing to the lake, going out to save people that were in trouble. And he drowned. He saved the two people that he went after. And he drowned. And we went to his funeral. Huge church. Huge youth group. And a huge connection to this guy's faith. And those kids sang at the top of their lungs. And they sang, shout unto God. And when they sang this, they were proclaiming, the enemy has been defeated. And they meant it. And she got up and spoke. And she said, I believe in a miracle. Very heavy in their faith. She said, the Bible says anyone can be brought back to life. And I believe that if we pray hard enough, my husband will come back to life. And her father, who was a pastor, got up and he said, daughter, he said, I love you with all my heart. And this breaks my heart to see you in this position. But if God answers your prayer and says it is not meant to be, will you continue to serve your God? And she said, I will. And she did. And it was hard. But she did. And her faith kept her in the times when she was weak. Jesus said, I will be your strength and your weakness. And she eventually remarried, married a pastor, and they are doing amazing mission work for the kingdom. Be careful when we say, we will never deny you. God says, well, Job, I haven't taken everything away from you just yet, so hold on. And I know some of you feel like my name is Job because these things keep coming against me. God, I feel like I am barely up from this one, and you hit me with this one. And man, I think, well, I can just get through this one, and here comes this, God. And he tells Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And all the disciples said with him also, no, it's the other guys, but not me. Jesus goes to pray in the garden. And he asks a couple little requests. Sit here while I go pray over there. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And then he went a little further. He fell on his face and he prayed. He said, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, and we have to remember this phrase, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them up and alert and attentive. No. And he found them sleeping. He said to Peter, remember the guy said, I'm not going to deny you. He said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. The flesh is weak no matter what. My spirit is willing to do. Again, a second time he went away. And he prayed and he said, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them awake and alert and attentive again with their eyes wide open. And again, no. It says, and he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and he went away again for the third time, praying and saying the same words. And he came back to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? For behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Now before we press on with what happened immediately after that, I can't help but think the same question is for the church today, the church in general. Church, are you still sleeping and resting? Are you, am I, are we still sleeping and resting? Well, we've come. We're here at church. We're in the garden with you, Jesus. But you see, our spirit was willing, but our flesh was very weak. Our eyelids were very heavy. And we just couldn't stay awake. God, we just couldn't put all in because, well, we really just didn't have 100% to give you, God. Give them what you have until you can give them more. Give them what you can until you can give them more. But we have to train ourselves and bring ourselves into submission to Him. So Jesus is talking. It says, and while He was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, I'm sure the one they were all pointing to go, he'll stumble. I just think they probably knew. But he, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. Again, immediately he went up to Jesus and he said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Now we know that Jesus already knew. Then they came and they laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to him, put away that sword. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes that were there, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? For I sat daily with you in the temple. I was teaching you. You didn't lay hands on me then. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Jesus said, I've been here. Here's where you can find me every day, in the temple, in your town, teaching, preaching, walking amongst the people. But you've got to seize me at night with swords and clubs, as though I were a thief, a robber. There's no need for this. So we go on, and Jesus is facing, again, the Sanhedrin, facing a group. Peter denies Jesus. He's handed over to Pontius Pilate. And we know that Judas then goes out and he hangs himself over what had happened. And Pilate offered up Barabbas as an exchange, the prisoner exchange, as was custom. When he faced Pilate, Pilate said, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, it is as you say it is. But while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he said nothing else. And Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. You know, the Bible also says that our actions and our words should be such a manner that it glorifies God in the things that we do and in the things that we say. That goes back to being a good ambassador for Christ in the things we do and say. Or have we done or said things that dishonored Him, that misrepresented His love for us? Jesus didn't need to worry about that. He didn't need to respond to them, for he knew his behavior and his actions. We know the story after that, that Jesus is beaten severely. And these are events that happened later in the week. The soldiers took him, they mocked him, they put him on the cross, and they led him away to be crucified, mocking him, saying, hail the King of the Jews. But I want to close with this tail end to this. Matthew chapter 27, verse 38. If somebody would get the children's church, let them know we're about ready for baptism. They won't come up on stage here, but they can sit in the front wherever they'd like. Up there, sit with their parents. It says, then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And I think every now and then we kind of do the same thing. maybe that bargaining we want to do with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. God, if you're alive, show me a sign and make this happen for me. Heal this, give me that job, let this financing go through. Let my health do this, let my relationship with so-and-so be restored, let it be great. Fix them, Lord. Fix them. So that they can work around the same old me. We play the if game. Likewise, the chief priest, also mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, but himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. You ever have friends, maybe family members that aren't here that represent empty seats? Well, let me see a sign so that then we can believe. He's been doing signs and wonders for years. They're all around us, church. These little children are signs and wonders of God. Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now we know from the other scriptures that one thief mocked him, but the other thief said, wait a minute, something's not right here. You see, we did these things and we deserve this. But this guy in the middle, he didn't do this and he doesn't deserve it. And the one said, remember me. And Jesus said to him, tonight you will be with me in paradise. And I think, which thief are we? Are we the thief that says, look, he can't even save himself? Or do we say, we get what we deserve? Remember several months ago, I told the story about a little grace and mercy as I came into town from being gone. We were at the food bank that night. And I wanted to go there. I wanted to see my wife. I wanted to see my church family. I wanted to go be there. So I went a little faster than I was supposed to. And the officer was very kind. He said, you deserve this ticket for this much, but I'm only going to write it for this much. So I got what I deserved, but he gave me a little extra by not giving me the full extent of what I deserved. We have to remember where we came from and what we've done. Amen? As we celebrate Palm Sunday, as we take time to think about what the scriptures say, Hosanna in the highest, and we reflect on the price Jesus paid just days later from that amazing entry, we have a great opportunity to minister to other people through that. We have a great opportunity to minister to ourselves and to reconcile to ourselves our relationship with Christ. Are we still asleep in the garden even though we're there with Him? Are you still sleeping and resting? And then this week as we go out, we have opportunity in this church for Maundy Thursday service, foot washing, brief devotion, and communion. Good Friday, an opportunity to sing praises, prayer, and testimony. And Sunday to gather together for food and fellowship is always great. But before that, we will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to bow our heads in prayer before we transition into our baptism service. And then after that, we will have a reception in the fellowship hall for the baptism. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you knowing the horrendous price you paid. We know that through that price we have freedom. And we know that for that price paid, that we have opportunity to communicate directly with you. God, as we go out this week, we ask that you be a constant reminder to us of the price you paid this week. God, that we reflect on our current walk and relationship with you. God, that next week as we celebrate that great resurrection, we can celebrate those things with you. We can celebrate with one another, but give us opportunity as ambassadors of Jesus Christ to tell others about it. Let us invite others. Let us remind others. Let us help others. Lord, as we prepare for our baptism today, we ask you to be with the hearts and minds of those in attendance. Lord, that something, if it's stirred today, Lord, that you would give them boldness to react and change on that. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.